And now, it pays to be married.
I am Mrs. Charles Frank. I can't seem to get my husband out of his pajamas.
My name is Mrs. Howard Piercy. My husband and I saved for 7 long years to come to America.
These are the people you'll meet today on It Pays to be Married, the show that honors the American home. And here to meet our interesting couples telling the true stories of their married lives is your host, Jay Stewart.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to It Pays to be Married, the transcribed program that brings you the couples from next door, Mr. and Mrs. America, telling you the true stories of their married lives. We'll hear our interesting couples tell how they met their problems of marriage and solved them. Then they'll have an opportunity to win our family fortune jackpot, filled with wonderful prizes and $250 in cash. And now, Ned LaFevre, let's meet our first couple.
Well, they're Mr. and Mrs. Charles Frank of Chicago, Illinois. Now, Mrs. Frank has a strange complaint to register against her husband.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Frank.
Hi.
Mrs. Frank, what's this complaint you have against your husband?
Well, my husband doesn't like to get dressed. He likes to sit around in his pajamas all the time at home. And
sit around in his pajamas?
That's right. And especially weekends, he puts them on Friday night and doesn't take them off again until Monday morning. The only time he does get dressed is to go to a wedding or a funeral.
Mr. Frank, what about this?
Oh, I just like to be comfortable.
Well, the least you can do is put your slacks on when company's coming.
Look, you wear what you want, and I'll wear what I want.
Well, now, hold the phone here just a minute, Mrs. Frank. You mean to tell me he wears pajamas when guests come to your house?
Yes, he does. In fact, we had a lady insurance collector at one time, and it seemed that every time she came to collect, he'd answer the door in his pajamas. Another time, we were having company for dinner, and they were coming from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And when they got there, he was in his pajamas, as usual.
Well, what do you have to say for yourself, Mr. Frank?
Oh, they've seen pajamas before.
Well, Mr. Frank, sizing up this situation, I'd say that you're a man who likes to relax.
Well, I work pretty hard, and when I'm home, I'll just like to take it easy.
Yeah, and he doesn't like to shave either.
I got a tender skin.
By golly, I'm almost surprised that you two folks ever got together. When did you first meet?
Oh, it was 15 years ago at his mother's house. We were invited over by a friend to play bridge there. Mm-hmm. And my sister and I went, and when we got there, he was in his pajamas.
You mean to tell me you were wearing those pajamas 15 years ago?
Oh, not the same ones. I changed. Well, no.
Well, no, I didn't expect that. Just 4 months later, you and Mr. Pajamas here were married, right?
That's right.
When did you see him first in street clothes?
Well, that same night, his sister-in-law invited us over, and we went there to play poker, and I saw him in his street clothes for the first time, and he even looked bigger in his street clothes than he looked in his pajamas. Now, in fact, when I got home, my sister asked me how he looked in street clothes, and I said, oh, boy, just like Man Mountain Dean.
Well, what did you see in her, Mr. Frank?
Oh, she owned a brand-new car.
Well, soon you had a brand-new car, and a few years later, two lovely daughters to ride in the car. You're going back to Chicago, are you, tomorrow?
Right. I'm leaving on the Santa Fe to California Limited, and I'm having a drawing room.
Drawing room? How come?
I just want to be comfortable and relax.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Frank, we certainly have enjoyed sharing your unusual experiences with you. Just one thing, Mr. Frank, be sure that you wait till you get on the train for the pajamas, huh?
I guess
I okay, will. And to help you keep up with Mr. Frank, Mrs. Frank, we'd like you to have a gift, a lovely ensemble of Luxite lingerie and hole-proof hosiery. And Mr. Frank, to make you the best-dressed man at the bridge table, hole-proof wants you to have some of their wonderful socks and nylon pajamas. And for both of you to share in your kitchen a Dulane Fryrite, the original automatic electric deep fryer, the easy way to make taste-tempting deep-fried foods.
Oh, that'll be just grand.
Well, it may pay you even more to be married, Mr. and Mrs. Frank. In just a few moments, you're going to get a crack at our big family fortune jackpot, filled with wonderful prizes and $250 in cash. Thanks for being with us. A safe trip back to Chicago tomorrow.
Say, how would you like to be on It Pays to Be Married? If you have an interesting, humorous, or human story to tell about your marriage, you may be selected to appear on It Pays to Be Married. If you live in the Los Angeles area or plan to be in Los Angeles, send your story to It Pays to Be Married, National Broadcasting Company, Hollywood 28, California. Now, Jay, meet Mr. and Mrs. Howard Piercy, formerly of London, England, but now of Hollywood, USA.
Hello, Mr. Piercy. Nice to have you here.
Hiya, Jay.
Hello, Mrs. Piercy.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Stewart.
Golly, a bit of a brogue, I'm sure, I detect there. Is that right, Mrs. Piercy?
I come from Ireland. I was born in Belfast, County Antrim.
County Antrim, huh? Mr. Piercy, where are you from?
I'm a Cockney. I come from Westminster, London.
You come from Westminster?
I do.
Cockney.
That's right, old man.
Right-ho and pip-pip. Well, you both have quite an accent, don't you?
Oh, I think my wife's got a greater one than me, don't you?
Well, I don't know. Do you think you have a worse one than he does, Miss Pearson?
Well, when we got married, I used to have to stop and remember what I was going to say to him because he didn't understand what I meant, and I didn't understand what he meant.
Two English-speaking people couldn't understand each other. Huh?
No.
How long have you been in this country, actually, Mr. Piercy?
Oh, just since March.
When were you folks married, Mr. Piercy?
In 1946. I met my wife in 39, and then I went away to the war. And when I came back, she was still waiting there.
Oh, you were in the what?
I was in the Air Force, yes.
And you met her in London, actually, huh?
Yes, before the war.
Before the war. What were you doing there, Mrs. Piercy?
I was working for the Americans in London.
What brought you from Ireland to London?
Well, I was on the dole. There was no work. So I came to England and got a job.
Were you in London during any of those bombing raids?
Yes, I was there all the time.
They were rather frightening, I imagine.
Well, the flying bombs were, because...
The flying bombs, the buzz bombs?
Yes. Because you got no warning when they were coming, and they were over all the time, all the day. And
could you actually make it to a shelter?
Well, you couldn't go to a shelter, really, because everything would stop. If you did, you just carried on and just hoped it wasn't your day, that you would get by.
And you never knew when you left home if it were?
No, that's what's so wonderful about today. You can go out and know that you'll come back all right, and go to the pictures, and there's no light to come on that says there's a bomb overhead. Mm-hmm. So I think that's wonderful.
After the war, though, fortunately, your Mr. Piercy came back safely to you, and you became man and wife. Then what?
Well, then we saved up for our first youngster, and he came along in March 1950. We called him Anthony Christopher.
Anthony Christopher. And all those years you were saving for something else, I know. What was that?
Well, we were saving to come to America. I'd always wanted to come.
The hope of coming to America, just what did that mean to you, Mrs. Piercy?
Well, I thought it'd be a wonderful country for Anthony.
Of course, you had your youngster who were thinking of bringing him up here.
Yes, I wanted him to come here.
Yes.
And grow up here.
And then food wasn't too plentiful, was it, Mr. Piercy?
No, I suspect that quite a lot of you people know that food rationing in the United Kingdom was then and still is very stringent. People eat meat once a week, a couple of small chops on a Sunday maybe. And at one time, potatoes and bread was rationed, gasoline rationed, couldn't get cigarettes. In fact, generally speaking, we were very hungry.
I bet you were. And both of you working day and night, you saved enough to come here to the United States. When did you have your first unrationed meal?
Oh, when we got on the ship.
On your way over, huh?
Uh-huh.
Big menu?
It was a big menu, yes, and all written in French, and we went right down it. But unfortunately, it was the last meal my wife enjoyed for several days because she was seasick.
You sort of overdid that first meal, I'll bet, huh?
Yes.
Well, you landed in Toronto. What was the first thing you bought there?
Bought a dozen bananas and ate them all.
Well, been some time since you'd had bananas. Then Hollywood called. You came here, and your youngster began to thrive in our warm, sunny climate. And, Mr. Pearson, you got a job. What do you do?
Yes, well, I work in what you people call a service station. We call them a garage.
Well, you call it that, and we'll call it filling station, huh?
Yeah, right.
What was your biggest thrill here in Hollywood, Mrs. Piercy, seeing the movie stars?
No.
No?
When we got the telephone, I'd never had a telephone before. And when the man installed it and left, I looked at it, you know, and it was a great thrill. And then I realized I had nobody to call up.
Here you were all alone with a telephone for the first time in your life and no one to call up. Well, did you make a call? What did you do?
Yes, I made a call to a total stranger.
Who was it?
A man in a radio station.
You just called a man at the radio station?
Yes, I was glad to talk to somebody on it.
We had a nice conversation. Well, I'm glad you made that connection anyway, Mrs. Piercy, and we're all glad that you are doing so well here in this country. We think you'll find that America is made up of all kinds of accents, actually, so don't ever lose yours, for heaven's sakes. And thanks for being with us on It Pays to Be Married. Now, Mrs. Piercy, to keep you looking pretty around the clock, here's an attractive wardrobe of 12 beautiful ship and shore blouses. Your husband will love them.
Goody, goody.
And to help you prepare those wonderful English roasts, a Westinghouse roaster oven. It bakes, roasts, broils, fries, and grills in a new modern design. You can be sure if it's Westinghouse.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. It may pay you even more to be married in just a moment if you can answer our Family Fortune jackpot question. So please stand by for our Family Fortune jackpot. Thanks for sharing your experiences with us. May you have wonderful fortune here in the United States.
Wherever you go, there's radio. And now's the time of year to have your portable radios checked over so that you'll know they work when you set off on your vacation, on a weekend trip into the country, or an afternoon at the beach. And you'll find that wherever you go in this vast country of ours, you'll find a friendly station nearby where you can tune to the familiar NBC chimes, your invitation to the finest in radio listening. Check your portable to make sure it works, and you'll know that you're all set for happy listening wherever you go this summer, or you tune the dial to your nearest station of the National Broadcasting Company Radio Network.
Right you are, Ned. And now it's time for our Family Fortune Jackpot. Mr. and Mrs. Piercy, Mr. and Mrs. Frank are at our microphones, ready to try to answer this question for our jackpot. And in that jackpot today is a 21-inch console television set from Barbara Stanwyck, star of the new Universal International dramatic love story, All I Desire. And to help set up that family fortune, $250 in cash. Now, listen carefully. I'm going to ask you one question. You'll have only 10 seconds to give me the correct answer. Each couple can only submit one answer. The couple that answers correctly first will win the Family Fortune jackpot. Everybody understand?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, here's your question. The peak of Mount Everest is said to be the highest land surface in the world. Where is the lowest land surface in the world? In 10 seconds, and only one answer between you.
In the Death Valley in California.
Death Valley in California, Mr. Piercy. I'm sorry, that isn't right.
No. How about the Everglades in Florida?
Everglades in Florida, no. And 10 seconds are up. The shore of the Dead Sea in Palestine. It's 1,290 feet below sea level. Gee, I'm sorry you didn't get that. But we'll carry our jackpot over till tomorrow. Thanks again to both you couples for being here on Pays to Be Married. Hope you enjoy the gifts that we did give you. Bye-bye. And stay, be sure to be with us tomorrow when we'll have more interesting couples and their true stories of their married lives. And until then, this is Jay Stewart reminding you that it pays to be married.
Listen in tomorrow for It Pays to be Married, transcribed in Hollywood and created and produced by Stephen Hayters and Henry Hoople.
Listen to Dave Garraway at 3:45 on NBC.